Hey everyone, I'm Kari.
Hello, everyone. I am Bree.
And this is CSI Talk. Welcome back. Before we begin this emergency edition, we just wanna let everyone know that this is a safe space for everyone, okay? We love each and every one of you, especially today after what we heard last night. So yeah, we love you all. Let me tell you exactly what happened. I was minding my own business, listening to the Torture Poets Department, the anthology. And I was on Twitter, following everyone breaking down the lyrics and all of that. And on Twitter, I'm part of a DM group of the show and all of that. And someone sent a link to an article by Deadline saying, and the message said, "Did CSI just got canceled? CSI Vegas just got canceled." And everybody started to, freak out. And I was like, hey, hold on, I'm gonna do some digging. And I got in contact. I reached out to somebody that works on the show, okay, that works on the crime scene investigation in Miami, New York, and cyber, and was working on Vegas as well. I DM'd that person and I was like, hey, hi, is this true? What Deadline is reporting, is this true? Because Deadline is a very reliable ally. And that person, unfortunately, they confirmed that CBS did not order a season four, did not order season four of CSI Vegas. That person did confirm, unfortunately, that CBS did not order season four of CSI Vegas. Now, we don't know exactly what reasons CBS had for that. Usually whenever a show gets canceled, CBS and CW or Netflix, Max and all that, they don't really present the viewers with a reason as to why those shows are getting canceled. They don't explain why. They just cut the show. It's just like Netflix ordering a season of like 12 episodes and then canceling. When I texted Brie last night about what was happening, she was out and I was completely freaking out.
And I was in a place I can't really text at. I was at my local spring fair. And that's not really a good place to be, have your head buried in your phone. Because you don't bump into people. So I was really blunt. Says I'm out in all caps.
And I was talking to my group of friends on Twitter, and everyone was like, okay, so what are we gonna do now? Because we're in the middle of the season, we're in the middle of season three, because episode six comes out literally tomorrow, okay? And there is a number of reasons why it could have led CBS to cancel CSI Vegas. So let's start from the beginning. Almost 4 years ago, rumors start circling that CBS might be resurrecting CSI.
Honey, it's past the 31st of March when it was officially picked up on March 31st.
There was a rumor circling that CBS wanted to bring back CSI crime scene investigation, but with a new cast. But the thing is, the world was facing a pandemic at the time, so probably this plan was altered, because I mean the first season had 10 episodes. And then suddenly we started to get more concrete news. Actors and actresses, they were starting to get cast, and it was a very small cast. And the explanation that we got We are in the middle of pandemic times because of health issues. You know, we cannot have too many people in the set. We're just gonna have this small cast of people. The viewers that picked up CSI Crimes and Investigation after the show ended wanted to see something different. We wanted to see a more diverse cast, as in we wanted to see a person of color. We wanted to see more women, even though throughout its history, Crime Scene Investigation did add a lot of female characters, but comparing to the number of male characters, there were only, at the very least, there were about 3 to 4 female characters to 5 or 6 male characters. We were like, we want something equal. We want we want female characters and we want diverse characters. So it was announced Paula Newsom as Maxine Ruby. She would take over the role of director of the Las Vegas lab, a role that us that have been following the show since Crime Scene Investigation know that in the end of Immortality, Sarah got this role, but then she decided to follow Grissom, and then we didn't know what would happen after that. But then in Vegas, we realized that Catherine took over. And then after Catherine decided to apparently go to Ireland with her daughter, Max took over at some point. Then Mandip Dillon, she as was a fairly new actress, at least to American viewers, from England. She was cast as Oliver John, and I immediately liked her, although some viewers didn't immediately. It was, as we said on our earlier episodes, it was almost like that same reception that Sarah got when she was first introduced.
Well, some of it was also due because not everybody can understand total
British
British
accent.
accent because there's many different British accents in England. I should know this because how much time I spend watching British TV.
Yeah, I understood what she was saying because I consume a lot of British media because I watch a lot of British history documentaries and also listen to a lot of the, if you like history, there's a great podcast called History Hit, and it's like with Dan Snow, and he's a great historian. But anyways, she was cast as Allie, and it's not clear, but apparently the character came from India, and she got the job at the LV lab, and she had a history with Josh. That's all we know. And then Meloria was cast as Josh Folsom, and he had a very deep and very good relationship with Max, but also he was someone that had a very rough family history. Those were the main cast. Then it was announced that part of the original cast was returning. And everybody was like, okay, so who's returning? So who from Crime Scene Investigation is returning? It was first announced that Georgia Fox was coming back to reprise her role as Sarah Seidel. Does that mean that Grissom is coming back? Yes. So William Peterson decided to reprise his role as Gil Grissom.
And during shooting one of the scenes, one of the episodes, he fainted and was rushed to the hospital.
Yeah, because he was overworked. I think he was just, too excited to come back to CSI. And then Paul Guilfoyle, of course, Jim Brass. Wallace Lehon, he was also reprising his role as Hodges. And we didn't know why Hodges was coming back. We didn't know why any of the Lexi characters were coming back. And then we found out that the person responsible for, pitching the idea of CSI returning was Jason Tracy. Jason Tracy is known for a lot of people for creating the show Elementary. Elementary is an adaptation of the stories of Sherlock Holmes, but if Sherlock had moved to New York, and also John Watson, he is not a man, he is a woman in that adaptation. She is a doctor, and they worked as consultants for the police, and Sherlock has a drug addiction problem because if you've read Arthur Conan Doyle books, you do know that Sherlock is very dependent on drugs that wouldn't fly on a TV show. So they decided to treat this as a drug addiction. Also, we have Moriarty and Irene Adler. They became the same character on this adaptation, which is not a move that I particularly liked because they are different characters on the book. But anyways, it was a good adaptation of Sherlock. It was a very daring adaptation, may I say. But I liked it. It lasted for 7 seasons on CBS. So I think because Elementary worked so well, they gave the green light for CSI Vegas. Also, Anthony Zeiger was going to come back, and he was going to write the episodes as well, and also William Peterson, he was going to be an executive producer, as he was always credited as an executive producer. The story of season one basically is that Hodges has been framed for stealing or falsifying evidence throughout the years that he worked on the lab, and those were cases that also Sarah and Grissom had worked on. And also, Brass was almost killed as well in the beginning. That's why Sarah came back, because Brass almost dies in the beginning. Grissom comes back, and he's like in the first episode for like 5 seconds, and then he's constantly on the fur on the rest of the rest of season one, and they help the team solve the other cases. We have three other characters that we didn't speak about. We have Hugo Ramirez. He is the coroner of season one. And then we have also my personal favorite, Penny Gill, played by Sarah Gilman, which is a character that became a fan favorite. She didn't show up a lot on season one, and she also was not a lot on season two, but she's heavily featured on season three. Also, Chris, we have Chris, Jason Lee, he is Chris, and apparently Hodges, somehow he worked under Max for a while, and that's how Chris knew about Grissom and Sarah and how they were together. In the end, Grissom and Sarah proved that Hodges, well, along with Max's team, they proved that Hodges was not guilty and all that. But we can see like the effects of COVID in the show, of course. We see like a giant table, between Hodges, his wife, and Grissom and Sarah. There's like literally no reason for that table to be there, unless it's social distancing. From season one, we see that there was something between Josh and Ellie. There was something between them, but from the beginning, we were told that it was going to be a slow burn type of thing, just like they did with Grissom and Sarah. The thing about Grissom and Sarah is that it took them 7 years on the canon, 7 years on our head canon. It took a lot less. Come in the end of season one, there is a cliffhanger that shows a serial killer that would be named the Silver Ink Killer. Now, that is a horrible name for a killer. Second, you should not go around naming killers.
Because that just gives them the attention they so thrive for.
Yeah, so don't go around naming killers. If you're here, you probably know that. And if you watch CSI, you most likely watch Criminal Minds as well. And every single time the Criminal Minds deals with a serial killer and someone names the killer, one of them immediately freaks out and say, no, do not call that killer that. In the end of season one, there was this cliffhanger, And that storyline, apparently, we thought about the storyline. It was Anthony Zeiger. Anthony Zeiger, he worked on all of the spin-offs of CSI and Crime Scene Investigation. He wrote one of the best episodes of CSI. The cast chemistry, was it good? Yes, it was good. Come seasons 2, we would have more episodes. Instead of 10, we would have 21, right? We had 21 episodes, right?
I think so.
Yeah, so we had like 21 episodes, which for a TV show, from one episode per week, it's usually how it goes. Because if you are in your 20s or on your 30s, you know that when you were a teenager, that's how we used to watch TV shows. Now I feel like I'm an old woman, but yeah. Back when I was watching The Vampire Diaries by the CW, there was one episode per week, and before Netflix was a thing, before streaming services was a thing, it was one episode per week, and it was usually 21 or 22 episodes format, and they usually lasted like around 40 to 45 minutes. Between the weekly cases, we also had the serial killer case. The show was now going to air on Thursdays, which was a good day for the show to air because people would totally watch the show. And we had three new characters, actually. We had the addition of three new characters. We had Detective Chavez. And she shows up in one of the very first scenes of season two. And we find out that she's actually dating Josh.
Because Allie had been away for a while.
Yeah, because Allie was training with the FBI. Allie was training with the FBI. Before season two was announced, we also got the news that Catherine Willows was going to come back. That was good. You know, that was great. Everybody was happy because previously Jason Tracy had said that legacy actors were more than welcome to come back. But the thing about legacy characters is that they have to have a reason to come back. And they have to have a very good reason to come back and to stay. We have two other characters. We have two new coroners, the twins. We have Sonia and Jack. And Sonia is kind of like the head of a morgue. Jack is her twin brother, and he is her assistant. She is older by a few minutes, if I'm not mistaken. They have a good relationship with Allie because the people from the morgue don't really like Josh. We still have the Silverian killer thing going on. And Catherine comes back and she wants to go back to the lab. She talks to Max. Of course, Max wants Catherine back. But, oh, we also got a new character. Actually, I forgot. We actually have four characters. And we have a new character, which is one of my personal favorites. Bo Fanato. He's played by Lex Medley. And he can absolutely do anything he wants. And he traded his job at a big company to try and help people. But we don't know why he traded his job at this company and became a CSI. Because there was a pay cut. And, like, why would he do that? On another episode, focused around Chris, we would find out why he did that. On that episode, we find out by the culprit that Bo invented something that his company sold to the army that ended up killing a lot of people. And when Bo found that out, he decided to become a CSI. But also, in one of the episodes, one of the darkest episodes in CSI season 2, a little boy almost, they find a little boy in Bo and Penny. And then that episode, that storyline particularly really wrecks Bo. And he has to stay away from the field for a while. We see a lot more of Penny in season 2 as well. Catherine and Max's relationship, they become best friends. Catherine and Max, they become best friends. The reason why Catherine came back, she ended up telling Max, is because Grace was one of the students at her FBI course, and she wanted to become a CSI. And she didn't have a lot of money, so Catherine, because she still owns her dad's casino, she offered Grace a job. But Grace went missing, and the reason why Catherine came back to Las Vegas, besides the point that she wanted to stay with her daughter, Lindsay, and her granddaughter, she wanted to find out what happened to Grace. So Max is like, no problem, I'll help you. But Max couldn't directly help her, so she put her best man on the case, which was Josh. So she came to Josh with Catherine, and she was like, if something happens to you or Catherine, I'm not going to be able to help you. You know, Catherine, you know, even if something happened to Catherine, Catherine was like a senior CSI, so I mean, and she worked for the FBI. But Josh is like, no problem, I'll help Catherine. And they get pretty close during that investigation, because Josh was kind of like working three cases all at once and any given time, because he was working the case of the week, he was working Grace's case, but he was also working the serial killer case, even though the leading investigator on that case, on the serial killer case, was actually Allie. She was leading the investigation. Penny and Bo do get really close because they are both kind of new to the job, and there was this one interaction that they have that I really like, that Penny asked Bo, like, how can I be less stupid? And Bo is like, the only way to be less stupid is to ask questions, so be stupid. And there's an episode on season 2 called Koala. The episode affects both Catherine and Penny. You know, Catherine has to take over the investigation because on the previous episode, Max had been attacked, so she was off the field. And season 2 began on a high note, but the end of the storyline of the serial killer was not as good as expected. I think the whole storyline of with Grace and Grace going missing and all, and at Catherine's casino, I think it would have been a lot more interest if it had to do with the serial killer than with a money laundry scheme. If she had gone missing because of the serial killer, and Catherine came back and found out the two were related, the team would have totally helped her. Also, on season 2, we got the return of another legacy character we have, Greg Sanders. Greg comes back, and we thought he was coming back for a grave reason, but apparently the grave shift needed a supervisor because the current supervisor was pregnant. So Max called Greg, but Greg also helped the day shift on their cases as well. He ended up working with Catherine again. And on the one of the best episodes of season 2 is arguably the season finale, of course. The build up to the season finale is that Josh apparently killed somebody because that person, that man punched after, killed his mom. And he found out with his friend, Trey. Not friend, almost like a brother. And then the team gets called to the scene and he gets arrested for it. And nobody actually knows, like, is he the guilty one? Is he a killer? Is he not? So we spend lots of thinking, is he going to be a killer or not, while getting the confirmation that season 3 was coming. But then the writer's strike happened.
And then the actor's strike.
Yeah, the writer's strikes and the actor's strike. But in the end, you know, they did came back. You know, the show, you know, they returned and all that. Right off the get-go, you know, they said, we're not going to get a full season. We're going to come back to the 10-episode format. And we're like, yeah, sure, you know, because, I mean, the writers probably did not have a lot of time to write new episodes, although, like, they were starting to write the episodes as soon as season 2 ended, but then the strike begins, so they, you know, they couldn't work. And then the first episode, we did the breakdown of the episode, and it turns out that Josh did not kill that man, did not kill Ken Schachter, but he did not defend himself. And at the time, I said he was traumatized. I mean, because if you ever been through a trauma like the one that Josh went through, or it doesn't even have to be like the loss of a loved one. It can be something that happened to you that affected you deeply. You just, your body just goes into like this, you don't know what to do. So you just stay frozen and you do not deny it or confirm anything. You just try to go through the day. Usually in the first 2 or 3 episodes, we get a notion of who is the bad guy of the season. So I thought, well, we're going to have a drug lord this season. Okay. And for a second there, I thought, well, so Catherine is going to have a bigger role this season, right? She's going to go right up against this drug lord. 3 episodes into the season and the drug lord is taken down. Okay, now let's talk about the problem with legacy characters. Is it a good thing that they came back to Vegas?
I think that the main reason why the show lasted as long as it did.
Okay. I think it's a good I think it's a good thing that they came back. Because like it gives like the new audience a reason to come back to Crime Scene Investigation, you know, and watch the original show, you know, and they could, you know, develop a bond as much as we do, you know, as much as we did. In season 1, Grissom and Sarah, they were back for a reason, and the reason was save the Las Vegas lab and also their careers, because the cases they worked on it was at stake, because if Hodges had gone to the jury and the judge declared him guilty, all of the cases they worked on would have to be reviewed by other CSIs. So they had a reason to stay. They had a reason to stay in Vegas and work their asses off to save the lab and save their careers. Season 2, Catherine comes back and she also has a reason to stay because of Grace and all that. And then she decides to stay and work in the lab. And she ended up developing a good bond with the team and all that. Then Greg, you know, I really love Greg. Did he have a reason to stay?
He did not, and he did not stay either.
He just came around for a few episodes and then he left. If you're gonna bring a character such as Greg back, you have to give him a good reason, not just what happened. You have to, you know, oh, something happened. What happened? A case he worked on had to go under review.
Sherlock.
The case, Sherlock, that he worked on, had to go under review. And he had to come back to look at the evidence again, and then he needed the help from the team. Season 3. I know we're still in the middle of season, practically. We know, like, tomorrow is episode 6. There is absolutely no reason for Catherine to stay. Catherine is just there. Don't get me wrong. I love Catherine, okay? Catherine Willows is one of my favorite characters in the whole CSI franchise, okay? She is a strong female lead, and Catherine and Sarah, they were probably the reason why there are so many women in the armed forces today. There are so many women that became CSIs or doctors or, you know, police. Because of them.
I think we also have Olivia Benson to thank for those who...
Yeah, strong. Olivia Benson as well, you know. But Catherine on season 3, she's just there. They didn't give her... I thought the storyline was going to be like, she has a story with this drug lord, with Tarcanio. What is the story? 2 episodes in and that story is solved. I thought it was going to be something else. I thought it was going to be something a lot more impactful, and it wasn't. And she's literally just there, you know. And I don't think her presence adds a lot to the plot at this point. But she's literally just there. Josh, storyline. I've been a Josh apologist from day one, okay? Since I saw the season finale for season 2 of CSI Vegas, I didn't think that he killed the guy. But let me tell you something. What if, instead of then finding out that what killed Colin Shafter was not like that, that spicy oil that was injected into his bloodstream, what if instead of that, we find out that actually Josh did kill him? Let's reimagine episode 1. They arrest Josh, and Josh is not either confirming nor denying what is going on. and he's going down for murder one. And this is a huge case because it involves CSI. And again, the Las Vegas lab is under the microscope because something happened with one of them. And the higher-ups are really angry about what is going on. Max's team is working around the clock. They are following the evidence. And Allie, this is her first case as a supervisor, and she's not doing a very good job because she cannot separate her feelings from Josh to the case at hand. And everything that they are finding, forget the partnerships, you know, let's forget the partnerships for a second. Everything that the team is finding points to Josh as the killer. Let's just say for a moment that he killed the guy, okay? And then Serena goes and tries to get a confession out of him. Or try to make him say something. And he's still not saying, he's not budging. He is not neither confirming nor denying. He is acting on his right to stay in silence. And the evidence is just saying that he is the guilty one. So now what is going on is that Josh is going to trial because he is guilty of murder one, you know, murder on the first degree. And everybody is breaking down. And Bo can even be like, I knew it, I always knew it, or something like that. Ellie is really upset, and somehow she comes to Max or to Catherine and finally admits her feelings for Josh. And there's nothing she can do at this point because he's in jail. They still are working the case, but Ellie is depressed. Max is also depressed as well. So Catherine, she kind of has to take the lead because she's like, okay, I've seen this film before, and I didn't like the ending. So let me help you guys. Let me tell you what happened, and she can say what happened to Warwick. Let's give Warwick a mention, and she can say properly what happened to Warwick because they must have heard what happened, but they don't know from Catherine's perspective. And she's like, I'm gonna help you guys, and I'm gonna go to the stand, and I'm gonna present the evidence to the jury. And then episode 304, we have we have Josh on the stand, and he now is forced to tell the jury what happened. And he says that he did bail Trey out of prison, and he had to, and he they both of them track down Keon Shafter, and he did a psychological torture on Keon Shafter to try and get the name out of him, and he got the name Tarcanio. And he was about to let Keon Shafter go until he saw the scrapes on Keon Shafter's arm. He can now open up about his childhood and say, my father used to, I don't know, hit me. He used to abuse me physically. And my mother used to protect me. And I wasn't there to protect her now. So I tried to do justice with my own hands. And I understand it was wrong or something like that. And he is about to be convicted as guilty. And then someone walks into the courts. I don't know, it might be Penny, it might be Chris, I don't know. Someone walks into the court and tells Max about a new evidence that just showed up. And they find out that Keon Shafter did die, but not by Josh's hands. He was still alive when Josh, quote-unquote, got rid of him. Someone else went there and finished the job. Who did that? Tarcanio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, you know, this would add such, what I just told you guys, this would add emotional layers to the story. And then Josh would eventually have to be cleared to come back. And then he would had to come back at CSI level one, of course, and his relationship with Max would still be, you know, on the rocks. But now Ellie, she has admitted her feelings for Josh to Catherine, and now Catherine is like, how about you tell him how you feel and that at some point, Allie's gonna get is gonna get stuck in that building that exploded. And instead of her getting kidnapped by the cannibal and taken somewhere else, they actually find her. And she is in critical condition, and they have to take her to a hospital. But help is on the way, but it's taking their sweet time. And Josh is like, stay with me, Allie, stay with me. And Allie's like, I have to tell you something. And Josh is like, no, save your breath. You know, you can tell me later. And Allie's like, no, I love you, or something like that. And then Josh, you know, kisses her or something like that.
I love you, and the episode fades to black.
Yeah, I love you, the episode fades to black, or something like that. And then next episode, Allie opens her eyes.
I remember nothing.
Yeah, you know what? It would add so many emotional layers to the characters, and it would probably, you know, it would take the center of Max and Catherine. Yes, it would shift the center of the show from Max and Catherine to Josh and Allie. And I know that not a lot of people ship them. In that hospital, Josh and Allie would like talk it out, you know, talk their relationship, and probably they will come to the conclusion that they cannot stay together, because now she's a supervisor and he's a CSI level one, and those relationships don't really work. Josh can say something like that, well, but Grissom and Sarah worked, and he was a supervisor and she was a CSI. It would be a great shift. It would add emotional layers and emotional tones to the show. I cannot speak on the rest of the season because I haven't seen it. Of course, we could do like a review of season 3, because apparently the season finale of season 3 could be the series finale of CSI. And I am grieving, you guys. I never thought I would grieve CSI while listening to a new album by Taylor Swift, but here we are. I changed the whole aesthetic on Twitter, and this is like the grief stages, am I right? I even changed my name. I used to be like CSI Reactions Girl. I'm just, you know, torture poet.
Something told me last year that it was on life support. As I was saying last night, that they were trying to give the show CPR with these 10 more episodes, but the CPR did not work.
What I just pitched would have bring the show back.
Yeah.
You know what? You know why? I'm just comparing shows right now, but I can't because they're from the same company. You know, CSI, Vegas, Criminal Minds. I'm gonna do it because they're from the same company. And at this point, I don't think it matters. That it doesn't matter more. You know why Criminal Minds has lasted so long? It's because it's not afraid to touch on very dark emotions. It's a crime show. It has like this very dark sequence of killers killing people and all that. And I know that like the name, the CSI stands for Crime Scene Investigation. Of course, they have to.
Oh, why NCIS is lasting as long as it has. They just celebrated the 1,000th episode of the franchise. They're not afraid to go past the line. And they have done that numerous times. Especially with Ziva.
I really like Ziva. But the thing is, you know what? Paula Newsom has such great potential to become a household name for CBS. She has the potential to become Gil Grissom level of real Grissom level of character. Max Ruby has that potential. And I'm gonna compare the seasons now. Why did they got it right on season 7 of Crime Scene Investigation and they got it wrong on season 2 of CSI Vegas? Because on season 7 they keep us on our toes. I'm always rewatching.
They had like, and how they had Lee Schreiber just for a few episodes of when played us in sabbatical.
Yeah, Grissom. Grissom was like teaching at another college. Yeah. Grissom, arguably, he was the biggest star of the show, and the show survives a few episodes without him. And still, season 7 is top tier for me. And the storyline of season 7 is that they are after a serial killer that turns out to be a woman that ends up having a psychotic break at the season finale. And not only that, they kidnapped a fan favorite, Sarah, that is having a relationship with Grissom that now everybody knows about, not just the viewer.
Yeah, because the viewer found out the last story of season 6.
Yeah, I mean, the viewer could have found that out a lot earlier than that. If, like,
especially if you really watch the episode Committed.
Yeah. But season 7 got it right because the writers at that point, they were not afraid to touch on those, like, dark emotions. You know, what drove a killer to kill and make perfect miniatures of the crime scene and also alter them when the crime scene did not match the miniature that she had already done. And then having Grissom trying to get into her mind. Like, we don't see that on season 2. We never saw. Ellie was the lead investigation when we didn't see her trying to get into the mind of the killer. And I know not a lot of people have the psyche to go into this dark emotions on season 7. That probably affected his relationship with Sarah to the point in which he was probably overprotective of her once she was rescued. But season 7 got it right. It just, you know, just the right emotions. And there's an episode, Empty Eyes, that we already covered, that it's half of the episode is under the point of view of the killer. Season 2 of CSI Vegas, they even get the help of the FBI to try and decode the message, and they ended up not decoding the message. So why was there so many scribbles all around? I understand that those scribbles were based on the Voynich manuscript, which has not been deciphered. You get the FBI on the phone to try and help you, and instead of decoding the message, you know, to give you like a very dark message, it becomes a funny stuff, you know, a comedic effect, you know. This is not what the viewer wanted. You know, I wanted to know what the killer had written. I wanted to know what he had written, because apparently that killer had OCD, so I wanted to know what he had written. And at the end, nobody knows what he did. And what did the Silverin killer had on all of those people to make them kill other people? Because it's not unheard of killers manipulating other people to kill. It's not unheard of, okay? I wanted to know on the show, why? Is it just manipulative? It just, you know, it's like you make a promise and then you don't deliver. I was talking to my friend last night. If you compare the episodes of Crime Scene Investigation to the episodes that we got so far of CSI Vegas, it doesn't feel the same. It's not even because there are different characters and we have a legacy character. It's just, it doesn't feel the same. Something is missing. I don't know what it is, but something is missing. We don't know if there was some sort of disagreement in the writer's room or if the strike eventually may have had some impact on the storyline. We know the cast did work their asses off to bring those characters to life. But like, it feels like something's missing. And we do recognize the work that the production and the whole cast and crew did it. You know, the whole team at Jerry Buckenheimer, you know, the lovely producer for Sheehan Reed. Yeah, she has done a wonderful job, not only on CSI Vegas, but also on Crime Scene Investigation, Vegas, Miami, and New York, and Cyber. But like, it feels like it's the end. It's not the end that I wanted. Because like, are we going to get Ransom Cannon? Are they even going to kiss? Probably not. Jack and Penny, are they gonna get married? Because they're engaged. Are they gonna get married? Like, what are the end of these characters? I mean, Sarah Gilman, she did post it on her stories that episodes 9 and 10, they're the best. So, well, yeah, this episode was kind of bittersweet. We had something else completely different planned for today. But, well, tomorrow is episode 6 of episode 6 of CSI Vegas, and also do not fret, because we are going to continue with our show, but we're gonna broaden our scope. We're not only going to be cover CSI
crimes and investigation, CSI New York. We're also gonna try to do CSI Miami, and maybe the first season of Cyber.
So yeah, we are gonna do that, and also because we know like Miami, you know, a lot of people like Miami. So yeah, we're gonna do that. It feels like a bad breakup, you know. I never had a breakup, but it feels like a bad breakup.
To me, it feels like it just fizzled.
It feels like a bad breakup, and it feels like not even like a bad breakup. It feels like I'm losing a friend. That's what it feels like, because
it feels like, you know, something that had to end, but it stayed long because it was comfortable.
Like it overstayed their welcome.
Yeah, because this season, minus maybe it was automation, hasn't been as great.
I mean, we haven't seen the rest of the season yet.
I know, but usually, even with shows that have 10 episodes, I usually like majority of them, and I've only enjoyed maybe two. Usually, if I don't enjoy the first couple episodes of a short season, I don't continue. Like, I haven't finished The Morning Show, because the first couple episodes of a couple seasons ago, I didn't like it.
I think for a crime show, it tries really hard. Like, season 3, for a crime show, it tries really hard to be lighthearted when it should exploit the dark themes.
Mm-hmm. Like, as I already talked about, NCIS has done many, many times. Like the 1000th anniversary, they had stuff to do with Vance's wife's death. Shout out to Paula Newsom. You know, because he was shot at her grave. You know, it does with stuff like that. And, like,
you know, throughout our show, CSI Talk, we have pitched so many ideas. Even like when we talked a few episodes ago, like a month or two ago, that it would have been nice if they brought, like, if a CSI turned out to be like the son of
Nate Haskell,
would have been like one of his children became a CSI, and then they got obsessed with their father. It would deal with that nature versus nurture. It just, I don't know, it feels like I'm losing a friend. A friend that really picks me up off the ground when I need it the most. And it's just really upsetting. It's really upsetting, and it's really heartbreaking. Like, I know that it's really upsetting. Well, we love you guys, and we're going to see you next week for the breakdown of this week's episode of CSI Vegas. Love you. Bye. Stay safe. Drink your water.